Okay.
Once again, I want to try to say thank you for coming. It's so wonderful that you're here. And hopefully, when we are finished tonight, you're going to say, that was meaningful. And thank you, Lord, for helping us put those particular pieces of the puzzle together. God is doing great and wonderful things. He's doing deep things. But one thing he is not doing is quitting. When Joe Biden stole the presidency from President Trump, God didn't stomp his feet and walk away and say, I'm through with these people. He just watched. He just watched. And he's still watching. But you don't want God watching you the way he's watching this whole dynamic of the hopeful overthrow of America. And I want us, as we share tonight, to make that so real to you. There, I don't know if America has ever had a time when we can say in such an indefatigable way that you cannot decide by what you see with your eyes or even hear with your ears at this moment. The decisions you make must be decided by the spirit of discernment, wisdom, knowledge, understanding. You must see what God is seeing. You must know what God knows. You must understand what God understands. And stand back and let him be boss. You will never, ever regret it. Don't let the present moment leave you undone, that somehow God or intercession or even Trump has failed. And I hope that tonight, as these people speak, you're going to understand that God... The old cliche, God is in control, and he really is. The liberals may be able to outdo, outmaneuver people, but they can't outmaneuver God. So please have pen and paper ready so that you can write, and we'll go ahead and get started. Bless you for coming. Okay, Debbie.
Okay.
Praise God.
Thank you, Nita. My name is Debbie Clark, and in preparing for tonight, the Lord said that he wants to take us on a journey. And one thing I do want to tell you, there are a lot of quotes in what I'm teaching tonight, quotes of Nita's and quotes of the Lord to Nita. So I'm
pulled from years.
Yeah, pulled from many, many years. And all that will unfold. I'm going to send my notes to Ricky, and Ricky may decide, because of the criticality of the accuracy of the quotes, she may put it on the website to help you out. So,
praise God.
Thank you, Lord. We just give you praise, Lord.
Yes, God.
How can we thank you? There's no way to thank you except, Lord, to just give you our lives, Lord.
Thank you.
Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are so good.
Yes.
We thank you that you are so kind, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for this journey, Lord. Lord, we bless you that you be glorified tonight, Lord, in
yes.
every word, Lord, that's spoken, Lord.
Yes, God.
In Yeshua's name. So tonight, the Lord wants to take us on a journey with him. You know, in a journey, we travel from one place to get to another place. A journey usually means traveling a long distance and often in dangerous or difficult circumstances. This is what the Lord has been doing. On this journey, both corporately as a nation, but also as individuals, the Lord is helping us journey from one place to get to another place. And our journey tonight begins with the Lord's call to NIDA shortly before the first GOE, which took place in May of 2001 in Jacksonville, Florida. At that time, Ken was doing the World for Jesus website, and prior to the call to Save America, NIDA was traveling quite a lot all over the world, ministering prophetically, teaching on prayer, helping people hear the heart of the Lord for them, for their nation, and for the body of Christ. Then the Lord came to NIDA, asking her to receive His call and commission her to Save America. Listen to NIDA's words in January, February 2001, telling us of that commissioning. Let me say one thing. I think the Lord's purpose in this journey is to bring greater understanding for everybody. Some people know most of the story. Some are new and know very little of the story. Some people have been around a while but only know bits and pieces. So tonight we're putting the puzzle together as we travel this journey with the Lord. So we're listening to NIDA's words in January, February of 2001, telling us of that commissioning. The most recent commission Messiah has given to us is so critical. It is perhaps one of the most urgent commissions thus far. As He awakened me and called me to many hours in prayer, He spoke with such urgency, I was overwhelmed. I have spent many hours in prayer over the situation since. I would like to share with you what He spoke to me. I was awakened out of a deep sleep with an urgent call to prayer on November 27, 2000. As I obeyed the call, Messiah began to speak to me about America. He quickened the recollection of a recent visitation I experienced from a heavenly messenger who told me that America didn't need more political rallies or even more conferences necessarily. What America needed was prayer, like never before in history, before it was too late. As this messenger spoke, he wept for America. At that time, I began to pray for our country, but I didn't really understand what else I was to do. On November 27th, however, I was given the understanding. I was told to bring ministers and intercessors together from several states at a time as a collective body to intercede for America. Our cry was to be that the Father would heal our nation and make her a dwelling place for the Lord. As we wait upon the Lord in worship and seek the glory of His face, He would respond and raise up fathers in the body over cities, states, and the nation. Those of us coming together to humble ourselves and to seek the face of the Father, not for personal gain, but for the gain of the corporate church, our motivation will be to do whatever it will take to satisfy the heart of the Father, so that He will allow His glory to cover our country and to grant us the ark of His presence. After several hours of prayer, I was given a vision. I saw a huge tree. Then I saw a great number of eagles flying from the south to gather on the tree together. These words came to me, gathering of the eagles. That is the reason I'm calling it gathering of the eagles. Now, we call it G-O-E for short, so if you hear G-O-E, same as gathering of the eagles. I remember, you know, Nita speaking to Ken and me about this. Soon after the Lord had called her to this work, I still remember the passion in her voice as she retold the Lord's call to save this nation. Nita so longed to give the Lord what he desired. I remember hearing Nita's passion for the heart of the Lord to do this work that he had asked her to do. The Lord called the first GOE to be in Jacksonville, Florida, to honor the blood of the French Huguenot martyrs because of their spilled blood on the Florida sands, plus Jean Ribault's covenant with God for this nation, the dedication of this nation to be a habitation for the dwelling of the Lord. This event caused the destiny of America to be sealed in martyrs' blood. You may remember we talked about this in our last long teaching session night several weeks ago. At the beginning of the gathering, Bob Jones gave a prophetic word over the gatherings, and he said, "The Lord promises a refreshing and a blessing to everyone present who would receive it. Also, that the gathering was a most important gathering in the Lord's purposes." It was also in this first GOE in Jacksonville that the Lord released the spirit of reformation. Larry Bailey, from the leadership team, saw in a vision himself standing in an area that seemed to be an amphitheater in heaven. The Father allowed Larry to see a huge black man standing before him. He had a large star in his hands and cupped it. Light shone between his fingers as he knelt down. He released the star, and it fell down through the clouds and hit the heads of the people at the GOE. The star shattered or came apart, sending embers flying out into many directions. A large chunk or piece of this burning ember fell at their feet. Larry noticed that the pieces fell to the ground, illuminating a map of the United States. The people in the room were standing in Florida. Other embers fell onto the states of the South, and a large piece flew up to Washington, Oregon, Alaska, and California. The New England states, Georgia, Alabama, Louisiana, Texas, and northern states like Illinois. The embers started a fire. Some caught on quickly, while others moved slowly in narrow corridors. The man then turned to Larry and said, "Faithful and true is he. All fires are just the starter for the Reformation of his people. See that you honor only him." Ken and I were there. We were part of that leadership team for that first GOE. That GOE was like no other meeting I've ever been in.
That's right.
It was one of the most powerful meetings I've ever seen.
Yes.
To the glory of God.
Yes, God.
So why is the Lord so emphatic about calling our nation to prayer? Did you know that nations have destinies? I remember when Nita taught us about this. Just like people who have callings, so do nations. The revealing of the Lord's destiny for America is so key for us to understand why we are praying as we are, both then and now. The earlier GOEs took place in specific geographical areas so the Lord could reveal what His heart saw for each regional area of America, even for specific people groups, especially the Native Americans and the African Americans, and events that happened in those areas. We pray for abortion, human trafficking. Much repentance has gone up in the GOEs from all over America for many injustices to different people groups, to nations, and to nationalities. Somewhere much later, maybe around 2006, I'm not exactly sure the date on that one, the Lord began revealing a new facet for prayer about the part the elite have played in trying to steal America away from us, away from what our founding fathers laid out. This has been and still is the battle for the soul of this nation. These battle targets came through revelation to Nita and other team members at the time. Listen to Nita's words. We kind of tripped into the Illuminati when we were doing the work of the gatherings. We were going into New York, and part of our team was getting together on a weekly basis, you know, and waiting on the Lord to see what He would say. And He started talking to us, giving us all kinds of names. He would give me the names of people, dates, happenings, events. And He kept doing this over and over and over again. And we would check it out on the internet. And I kept saying, how does all this work together? Finally, the Lord said to me, this is a hierarchy of the Illuminati, and I want you to start dealing with this in the gatherings. And that's how we got involved in all this stuff. That's Nita's words. I remember in the KCGOE in 2015, the Lord told Nita, you do what you have to do so I can do what I want to do. The Lord called Nita to New Orleans from 2009 to 2012. Daily intercession online, 6 days a week for this nation and for Israel, was prayed for 3 years from NOLA. I know that. Ken and I joined online.
Sure.
The Lord revealed to Nita that He was giving us a short window of opportunity to rest, W-R-E-S-T, to rest this nation from the hands of the Illuminati. In other words, from the New World Order. In the midst of this, the Lord revealed an answer to a question Nita had fasted for, a water fast, in 1989 for 40 days. Nita's question to the Lord was, where will America be during the reign of the Antichrist? On August 6th of 2011, the Lord gave Nita the answer to her question from that 40-day fast over 31 years ago. Listen to Nita's words. After 11 years of gatherings, the Lord finally spoke to me, answering the reason for the 40-day fast and the years of the GOEs. He said, you must rest, W-R-E-S-T, America
out of the hands of the Illuminati while there is still time. America was created to be a father to the nations, a shelter in the storm. We, in part, were created to be a refuge to other nations who want to resist the Illuminati. The Bible never says anywhere, this is Nita speaking, please, the Bible never says anywhere in its pages that America has to be in the system of the Antichrist and come under his reign. The Lord spoke to Nita. I remember when she gave this message from NOLA. I remember sitting there just glued to listening to what she was saying. The Lord spoke to Nita from Revelation 6 to 8 from the Amplified Bible. So I looked, and behold, an ashen, pale greenish-gray horse, like a corpse, representing death and Hades, and its rider's name representing death, and pestilence. And its rider's name was death, and Hades, the realm of the dead, was following with him. They were given authority and power over a fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword and with famine and with plague, pestilence, disease, and by the wild beast of the earth. Nita speaks of this. We all know that this particular horse is the Antichrist. He has been given to rule over a fourth part of the earth. He is going to try to rule over all of it, but the Bible has already limited him to a fourth part. However, America is in the depths, which means if the Antichrist gets his way, America will be part of that fourth part. If God has his way, America will not. This is not God's will for America. But if we do not do what we need to do now as a nation, we will fall to this man of sin. Remember, I told you, the Lord spoke to Nita, you do what you have to do so I can do what I want to do. America was created to be a nation, a father to the nations. We were also created to be a shelter to the nations that want to resist the Antichrist. This is why he created us. The first being Israel, to be a protector of Israel. To be a protector of Israel and to be a refuge for the nations that want to resist the Antichrist. This is still Nita speaking. America can save the nations that don't want the rule of the Antichrist. That's why America was made to be so powerful, so strong, so wealthy, was to give us the capacity to let Jesus rule and reign in this nation, building ourselves into such an edifice that we could actually be a place of refuge for the nations that want to fight the Antichrist. The Lord had appeared to Nita in 2000. In a three-hour visitation, asking her to do the GOEs for America, the Lord told her that if we would be faithful, that if we would faithfully do these gatherings, there would be great revival before war. If we would not, then there would be war without revival. The Lord said to her, I created you for this purpose. I have not anyone to stand in line behind you. If you don't do it, the consequences are the nation will see war with no revival. Nita helps us understand. America is to be a refuge nation for those fleeing from the Antichrist. America was meant to nurture and guide the nation in tender mercies and in righteousness as a loving Father. But we have perverted our authority and used it oft times to the undoing of nations. The reason? The church has forsaken her call to America. When she returns to her call to America, to the nurture of this nation in righteousness, America will return to the proper fatherhood role it has been called to among the nations of the of the world. There is such a thing as a Kairos time in our Lord's government. If we move in obedience in his Kairos time, our obedience will have effects such as at no other time. If we will humble ourselves now, if we turn from our wickedness now, if we will pray now, if we will seek his face now, he will hear us and heal our land. That is his promise. That is the promise he has given me. The Lord told me that if we would move as a church representing our nation and fulfill 2 Chronicles 7:14, he will heal our land. Not only will he heal us, but he will further set his glory upon our nation. And America has never been so beautiful as when the ark of his glory rests upon it and we are walking in righteousness. The Lord told Nita that the GOEs had accomplished much in the areas needed for the saving of America, but now he was sending another mantle, an additional mantle to her. This mantle brought Joel's army to come alongside the work of the GOEs to help bring America through to victory by the training up of intercessors to intercede ongoing between the GOEs and by raising up prayer cells all across this nation. We'll talk another night more about Joel's army. So why is the Lord doing this? The end times destiny of America. What is that destiny? To be a refuge nation, a father to the nation, a shade for those fleeing from the Antichrist, to be a light to the nations of the earth, to carry his glory. This is why we are fighting as we are, why we intercede as we do. We are not begging the Lord. He is asking us. This is his heart. He has need of America because of the destiny he has placed upon her. And he has need for us to enter into this place with him. His call to us for his call. This is the crux of why we're doing what other intercession ministries are not. The journey the Lord has brought us from the beginning has produced endurance and understanding that caused the needed longevity for us to repent and tackle things our Lord leads us to, things such as the elite, the restoring of the republic, and so forth. You see, it is the journey for the destiny of America. More importantly, along the journey, the Lord is making us to be like him. For how else can we be that light that is America's destiny and be that father to the nations that is also America's destiny? It is his heart. Tonight, we're placing it all in context for you. Otherwise, you have a completed jigsaw puzzle, but no beautiful frame to complete it. The context brings the needed understanding that many of the intercessors need. You know, on the journey, Ken and I are witnesses from the beginning. We were there even before the first GOE and at the first GOE. Some of you listening were there at that first GOE too. Since that time, other intercessors have joined the journey at other entry points, but we all are here on the journey together to complete the Lord's heart in this. The Lord told me in 2012, this is not about you. This is about me. I want America. Let's stand together and intercede for the Lord's heart, for his plan, for the destiny he has written for America. Nita told us, as America's people and our government are glorified with the beauty of our Holy Father, America's glory will be restored. This is what we are working toward. Come join us on this journey and help us make this nation a glorious resting place for our Messiah.
Yes, God.
The following declarations I'm going to say are based on the revealed destiny of America, the Lord told Nita. America is here in this period of history for such a time as this. America is a father, a shepherd to the nations to receive, shelter, and protect them. America is one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all, standing in the truth of the Lord. America will have a righteous government because righteousness makes a nation great. America will bear the light of the Lord to care for and to change the world. America will become what the Lord has called America to become. The gifts that the Lord has placed in America will begin to flourish and bear godly fruit. America will be a true witness for the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is alive, flowing, and moving in and across America. America will be reprocreated, regenerated, and reborn anew for the purposes of Almighty God. The glory of the Lord will flood America in Niagaras of the Spirit to pull up, to change, to build, to purify, to heal, and to glorify the King. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven in America. His kingdom come. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And he will reign forever. We declare these declarations, Lord, for your glory,
yes.
Lord, that this will happen, taking the foolish things to confound the wise, Lord. We give you praise for this journey, Lord, that you have brought us on, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the completion of this journey. We thank you, Lord. We give you honor. We give you praise, Lord. May the glory of the Lord fill this land and fill the earth,
yes.
Lord, that you will be glorified,
the Lord.
Yes, Lord. And, Lord, in the name of Yeshua, Lord, we ask that you bring down every high place,
yes.
Lift up every low place, straighten out every crooked place, and smooth
right.
out every rough place, Lord. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed,
yes.
And all humanity will see it.
Yes.
In the name of Yeshua, amen.
Praise God. Thank you, Debbie. Praise God. I'm Ken Clark, and I'm going to pick back up where Debbie leaves off, and I'm going to be sharing from more of a spiritual standpoint rather than a spiritual standpoint to talk about what God's doing. And tonight, as I begin to share, I want to set the pace by sharing Psalm 97. This is an Amplified Classic Edition. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of isles and coastlands be glad. Clouds and darkness are round about him, as at Sinai. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and burns up his adversaries round about. His lightnings illuminate the world. The earth sees and trembles. The hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the peoples see his glory. Let all those be put to shame who serve graven images, whose boast is in idols. They fall prostrate before him, all you gods. Zion heard and was glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoiced in relief because of your judgments, O Lord. For you, Lord, are high above all the earth. You're exalted far above all gods. O you who love the Lord, hate evil. He preserves the lives of his saints, the children of God. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the uncompromisingly righteous and is strewn along their pathway. Listen to this. Light is strewn upon your pathway. And the joy for the upright in heart, the irrepressible joy that comes from consciousness of his favor and his protection. Rejoice in the Lord, you consistently righteous, upright and in right standing with God. Give thanks to the remembrance of his holiness. Praise God. Thank you for your word, Lord. You know, what really stood out as I was preparing for this session is the Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice.
Yeah.
Rejoice not because of the circumstances, but because he reigns. And this is where we are as a nation, as a people right now. He reigns, and he is leading us. In this ministry of WFJM, we've been following him in this leading he's been carrying us on, redeeming this nation for the past 22 years. The natural eyes cannot be our guide right now. But Jesus, through spiritual eyes, has to be our guide. In the natural, we may feel like we're on shaky ground, but in the spirit, the ground that we are standing on is unshakable. And the scripture from Matthew 7:24 through 27 came to mind as I was preparing. So everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them, obeying them, will be like the sensible, the prudent, the practical, the wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and they beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like the stupid, the foolish man who built his house upon sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and they beat against that house, and it fell, and great and complete was the fall of it. As a nation right now, it feels uncomfortable for most people, but we cannot go by our natural feelings. We must go by the Word of God and by His promises. The Lord is putting America on that rock, and we will see the house of the elite and where it's been built, and we will see it come crashing down, and great will be the fall of it. This is war. The elite are trying to set America up. They have been working the Hegelian dialect, and we've been praying against that for so many years. And just when they think they have it all, they will be thrown down. Think of this. What plans can man have against God and prevail? Think about that for a moment. What plans can any man, any group of men, any organization have against God and prevail? It's Psalms 2. Why are the nations in an uproar and the peoples grumbling in vain? The earth's kings are taking positions. Leaders are conspiring together against Adonai and his anointing, his anointed. They cry, let us break their fetters and throw off their chains. But he who sits in the heavens laughs. Adonai looks at them in derision. Then in his anger, he rebukes them. He terrifies them with his fury. I myself, this is the Lord, I myself have installed my king on Zion, in Zion, on my holy mountain. I will proclaim the decree. Adonai said to me, you are my son. Speaking of Yeshua, you are my son today. I became your father. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, and the whole wide world will be your possession. You will break them with an iron rod, and you will shatter them like a clay pot. Therefore, kings, here's the warning, kings of the earth. Therefore, kings, be wise. Be warned, you judges of the earth. Serve Adonai with fear, rejoicing, but with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish along the way. When suddenly his anger blazes, how blessed are those who take refuge in him, in Yeshua. God, we bless you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you, we see that you're in process, God, of establishing your kingdom. And nothing will hold it back.
That's right.
Nothing will stand in its way. Because it's about America, but it's not just about America. It's about the kingdom of God converging with the kingdoms of this world. The kingdoms of this world, as we see in Daniel 2, by the stone that is not made by hands, that comes out of the heavens, it will hit the stature of the kingdoms of this earth and destroy them. And it will be set up as the kingdom of our God. The ride will be bumpy from here on out, saints, but God will prevail. God is going to have a refuge nation. So the elite are warring against God. God is going to cause their plans to implode. They are actually calling down judgment upon themselves. God is showing mercy to hopefully bring some of them out that can be saved. As Debbie mentioned a few moments ago, this was in my session too, Jean Ribault made a covenant with God for this land in 1565, and it was paid for with over 300 Huguenots' blood, the blood of the martyrs. The blood of the martyrs is holy before God. God has not forgotten Jean Ribault, nor why they came to America to establish a habitation for God. Because of the price that the martyrs paid, and because the intercessors have responded to the heart of God, emptying that cup through intercession in heaven, God's letting the elite have the rope to hang themselves. This is going to be a lot like the Purim scenario, where Haman's intentions were to destroy the Jewish people, but they were turned on him and his sons. The Jewish people were delivered, and the righteous leadership of Mordecai and Esther benefited Persia. Oh God, that Iran could look back to that period of time and understand the hand of God for Persia, and repent, and turn to God with the whole heart. The righteous and upright in heart will lead, and they will rule America, just like Mordecai and Esther did Persia. We have to keep in mind, saints, that we're in transition. Beloved, transition often feels unstable. What we will actually see is a miracle of deliverance. And I don't want to get into this too deep because I want Ricky to do her part on this. But like the Red Sea crossing, where it looks like Pharaoh will overtake 3 million Jewish people, but God splits the sea. And on first fruits, Pharaoh and his army pursuing Israel into the sea were destroyed by walls of water that fell in on them, and not a one was saved. Israel was set free, and God set Pharaoh and the gods of Egypt up for this judgment. Notice Egypt had the grace of God when Joseph was there, in second in command, years and years before, because Joseph was a blessing to Egypt and to her neighbors. But Egypt forgot. Ricky will share much more about the Red Sea in a few minutes. I want you to remember Psalm 91:8, because the word of God is settled in heaven. Only with your eyes will you behold and see the reward of the wicked. I want to talk about for just a minute, why is God allowing this? I hear this from a lot of people as I'm talking to people as I travel. I'm talking to people and they're wondering, you know, what is going on? Why is God allowing this? And I want to talk to you for the next few minutes here about why God's allowing it. I want us to have a complete understanding of what's going on. So when people ask you that question, you can answer it. God has intentionally allowed some things for his purposes to expose the wicked and what is happening, to expose everything hidden and the depravity of it all. He wants to deal with the foundation of corruption on every level. And beloved, America has to see it. It will wake them up to the call of those that didn't understand just how bad it had gotten. They will soon know that it was truth, what was being said, and not conspiracy theory. It's designed to reveal all that had been involved. The draining of the swamp is showing us just how bad it actually was. And I come from a law enforcement background, and you know, I thought of this myself. When a crime has been committed and things lead to a pond or a lake or a swamp, when you drain that swamp, you usually find the evidence at the bottom.
Yeah.
If it's a river or a lake, divers bring up the evidence. You're about to witness, over a period of time, the greatest law enforcement bust in the history of a nation. Maybe even the history of the world. When this thing unravels, it's all coming down. Abortion, human trafficking, treasonous acts, murder, extortion, fraud in general, corruption in the Fed, state, and local governments and courts, fraudulent elections, injustice, and all of it will be dealt with. When you clean things up, you clean it all up. God has given an opportunity for people to come and come clean. Yet many have chosen to hide it. The thing they don't understand is the Word of God in Luke 8:17. And you've heard us talk about this so many times. Nothing is hidden that will not be disclosed. Nothing is covered up that will not be made known and come out into the open. It's time to clean it up. It's time to strip America down to the foundation of the nation. It's time to begin rebuilding America with the 24/7 vision that needs us all of reformation, revolution. He's waking up a nation. He's exposing wrong direction. God has drawn a line in the sand for people to decide which side they will be standing on. Freedom or communism? It's a battle between light and darkness. And honest to God, it's either life or death for the nation. Ricky's dream on the Trump administration versus the Biden administration that she had last year will talk to us more about what that's like. And I want to talk about the church for a second. He's pressing the church to come into alignment spiritually with his will. And I want to talk about three parts of the church just briefly. The complacent church is the first part. For the most part, the church is walking in compromise. It's divided because it doesn't know the heart of the Lord, which affects its stand on everything. In its apathy and complacency, it can't see what a blessing God has sent us in the mantle of the Cyrus, Donald J. Trump, and how he's reversed many of the plans of the elites. In other words, the so-called church at large has very little spiritual discernment. This is God's wake-up call to the church. He's calling the church to repent for its complacency, for its apathy, to repent for not following his heart and returning to the Lord. And then the second part of the church I want to speak about is the awakening church. God is dealing individually in this hour with believers, helping them work out areas that need to be fixed and healed and let go of the things that have held them back. And is filling them with life and the fruit of the Spirit. The church has to learn that the fruit of the Spirit comes first, and then the gifts of the Spirit will flow in their right order. The heart of the Lord and what he's doing with this group is a beautiful thing. They're learning the ways of the Lord. And the last group I want to talk about is the intercessors and the remnant. We continue to press in until we have victory in a nation set back on a firm foundation. We continue to carry the ark until the rest of the church comes to its rightful place where it can be a part of that. We must hold the line even through persecution. The grace is there for those who are willing to take advantage of it. God is faithful and he's able to deliver us, church, intercessors, in his timing. Even with Israel and Egypt, there was a day and there was a time of God's deliverance. So will there be for this nation. Trust in God. Do not lose heart. We are standing for a nation just like our forefathers did. All of heaven is watching this final lap. They have a right because they invested. Reminded me of Hebrews, and we talk about this quite a bit. Hebrews 11:39, it culminates the hall of faith, what I call the hall of faith, the 11th chapter of Hebrews, where the saints went, what they went through to keep the faith. Listen to the words that came to mind. Hebrews 11:39, all of these had their merit attested because of their trusting, because of their belief in God, because of their faith. Nevertheless, they did not receive what had been promised, because God had planned something better that would involve us, so that only with us would they be brought to the goal, to the goal. Hebrews 12:1. So then, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us too put aside every impediment, that is the sin that easily hampers us in our forward movement. Keep running with endurance in the contest that he has set before us. Looking away to the initiator and completer of our trusting, of our faith, Yeshua, who in exchange for obtaining the joy set before him, endured endured the execution stake, the cross, as a criminal, scorning the shame. He sat down at the right hand of God. Yes, think about him who endured such hostility against himself from sinners so that you wouldn't grow tired or become despondent. Here we are at the threshold of the next major move of God that will last a millennium. We are here at the doorway of the Yovel, the Jubilee Revival, that will be released across America and the nations of the earth. Isaiah 61 revival is at the door, and it will soon come forth in fullness, and it will be like no other. It's the completion of Joel 2, and it's Acts book 2, and it will sweep every nation, literally changing the landscape. The lost will be saved. The sick will be healed. The dead will be raised. The nations will be changed. And the church will finally assume her righteous place. Melchizedek, the mighty men and women of valor, the hidden ones, will come forth and set up kingdom order in the church. The church will finally be able to be entrusted with the nation, which will hold the nation accountable and stable. Everything false will be dealt with. These years and the years ahead, you will see the works of God, of the Bible. You again will see the glory of God.
Yes.
You will see how he transforms nations. You will see how he deals with the wicked in the tribulation period. You too are playing a vital part, like many of the Tzaddikim, the righteous, who have gone before us, fulfilling their role. You were created. You were born before the foundation of the world. God chose you for this season, for such a time as this. Your stand and your intercession is affecting more than you know. It is a force that holds back darkness from completely having its way. Heaven sees our stand, and it's of great value to the Lord. Yeshua knows experientially what it's like to live down here. He knows the obstacles and the hardships that we face. He literally even walks back through them with us. He understands loss. He knows loss. He knows how he contended against the world system and the religious system with its traditions that looked absolutely nothing like his father. And it broke his heart. And it broke his father's heart. He came as a testimony. The pattern to see for every generation. He left each generation the responsibility to be the testimony of righteousness and justice because of the light that has been placed within us. To whom much is given, much is required. And as I was processing this, the Lord said, Matthew 28:18. And I looked at it and I thought, okay. And he was saying to me, he said, listen to me, listen to this. Yeshua came and he talked with them and he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make people from all nations into Talmudim, into disciples, immersing them into the reality of the Father, the Son, and the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I commanded you. And remember, I will be with you always. Yes, even until the end of the age. Your very presence and standard of righteousness affects the atmosphere around you. And your intercession is like lightning that sets your words into motion. God's intentionally allowing things for his purposes. But when he has gotten what he needs, the miracle of deliverance will happen. His shaking must take place first. America will be set back on a firm foundation based in justice and truth. And the fear of the Lord will cause things to remain in check. America will come into the greatest time of hope since her conception. So don't lose hope because of what you see, but allow this time to cause your faith to increase. Because God is faithful, and let me tell you, he is never late. Never. This is the fight of faith that God is pouring out the ample grace for us to receive in these hours. Hold the line, take advantage of the grace, and stay firmly planted in his word and who he is. Pray like you've never prayed before, and then be still and see the Yeshua, the salvation of our God. And I'm going to leave you tonight with these words from Moshe, from Moses, standing before the Red Sea. Exodus 14:13. Moses answered the people. They were concerned. Here's Pharaoh's army coming, largest army on the face of the earth, wants to bring them back into bondage. And Moshe said, "Stop being so fearful. Remain steady. You will see how Adonai is going to save you. He will do it today. Today you have seen the Egyptians, but you will never see them again." That's how God deals with wickedness. Lord, we bless you tonight, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing. Save those, God, that will repent. Save them and draw them to yourself. And God, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you are God, and nothing, Ein kamocha ba'alim Adonai, nothing is too hard for you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. God, you are faithful. We bless you tonight in Yeshua's name.
Amen. Thank you, Ken. Amen. Hi. Thank you all for coming on the call tonight. This is John, and I'm going to be sharing and expanding on what the corporation, the United States of America, has done, try to simplify and give understanding of how the corporation operates and has been used as a vehicle to rob us of our freedoms that are given by God in this new land that was founded on our freedom to worship him and to live as children of our Father in heaven. I'll try to bring forward some parts of how God is bringing redemption for this country and give evidence of some of what he is doing to bring things back into truth right now. Amen. God's character is that of a redeemer. He redeemed the Israelites from slavery to the Egyptians and the hand of Pharaoh through his vessel Moses. He redeemed the Israelites out of Babylonian captivity through the vessel of King Cyrus, a non-Jew who God referred to as his Mashiach, and who conquered Babylon and freed the Jews from exile to rebuild the city of Jerusalem. There have been many operations of God's redemption throughout the scripture. Much later, God redeemed all of mankind from slavery to sin forever through his son, Jesus Christ. But Scripture says that Jesus was crucified from before the foundation of the world. So this redemption was not an afterthought. It was in motion from before the beginning of time. This is all evidence of God's character as the Redeemer. Thank you, Lord. After 22 years of repentance and prayer by those in this ministry, and this after following his specific instruction to Nita, he is redeeming America today. Through his servant, Donald Trump, our true president, who is a type of Cyrus and is not working alone, but with God's army and with the U.S. military as well. As you remember, in 1871, the U.S. was bankrupt due to war costs, and those in authority made a compact with the enemy, the Vatican and the elite bankers, to finance our existence. That compact was the selling of our future, and in that respect, similar to Adam and Eve's selling of their future to the devil in the garden. There was a big difference, however. The devil was given authority legally by man in that capacity, by man's submission to him in weakness and his disobedience to God. But America was sold out by a few men who had not the authority of the states to do what they did, and it was in direct contradiction to the God-given provisions of the 1776 Constitution. But as God in his mercy, the great Redeemer, has redeemed the Israelites repeatedly and also mankind, he is also redeeming America right now. When the transaction was made with the Vatican for the loan and the corporation of the United States of America was formed, the states later also became corporations. The counties and cities became corporations, and the people of America became corporations without their knowing it. This was necessary in order to operate their plan, but was deceitful and illegal. As a result of this transaction, the American people lost their sovereignty and became collateral and responsible for the repayment of the debt loan then, and also the ongoing loans later made from the banker's private Federal Reserve Bank. The way it was set up, the debt could never be repaid, and we were liable as slaves, as chattel. We were sold into that agreement without our knowing, and our freedom was lost unlawfully. Interest upon interest upon interest has been siphoned from the monies of the American people by the banks. This is the usury that controls and enslaves and is spoken of against in the Scripture. This is all going to be unraveled. But we need to understand the structure in our working towards a resolve. In 1933, it was initiated the forced registration for Social Security, and we were then made dependent upon the corporate government and forced to contribute our money into a trust that was managed by the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. That account is listed under our Social Security number, and our money is used by the bankers, monies that we have no access to. The birth certificate is our registration. This is tied to a different law system called the UCC, or Universal Commercial Code, and is associated with Admiralty law. Listen to this. When a ship pulls into its dock and arrives, it's called a berth. When the ship pulls into its berth, the captain of the ship has to present a certificate of manifest to the port authorities for access. That document lists the ship's cargo, the crew, the passengers. This shows the identity and the value of the items on the ship. When babies are born out of the mother's water, they have a certificate of manifest, a birth certificate that shows they are a human resource, a certain value. Through the womb, the birthing canal, and out of the water, we are classified then as a vessel. There is a dock, a doctor that births us in the hospital, which is the port of entry, and we are given a birth certificate which is filed in a structure as a result of the Act of 1871. This certificate is then valued. The value is the expected value of the revenue that the individual is projected to generate over their expected lifespan. This certificate was taken and sold in the market through the Vatican Church as a stock certificate is sold. This process goes all the way back to Nazi Germany in determining what the individual would produce for the government. And that's how we went from a sovereign individual into slavery of the federal government's corporation through the birth certificate system. They had to make a way to get us to do that, and the Social Security system, under the auspices that they're going to provide welfare back to you when you reach a retirement age, they forced us to sign up for it, and that's how we got into this process and where we are collateralized for our asset value in the stock market. Anna von Reitz is someone who has studied government structure and history and the legality of it for many years. During World War II, the victory tax was established as a voluntary tax. Americans were asked to pay the same amount of tax on their earnings as the federal employees paid on their earnings. That was a normal thing. This was to match the government employees' tax that was deducted by the Internal Revenue Service to help pay for the war costs and greatly increase the taxable population. The temporary tax was supposed to end with the end of the war hostilities in about 1945, but without a specific request telling the IRS that you no longer wish to pay the victory tax and that you are accepting the sunset of that agreement, they continued to tax you and prosecute you as if you had an ongoing obligation to pay. They presumed upon us. That's how they snared most Americans. The Internal Revenue Service is a private collections company acting as a permanent contractor for the U.S. Treasury Department without any legal statute authorization. The monies they collect go to the Vatican and towards the debt we purportedly owe to the Federal Reserve Bank for the monies they print out of thin air and then loan to us with interest attached. With the dismantling of the corporation structure, however, and the removal of the central bank, there is no more need for the IRS. The original organic Constitution of the United States for America was replaced in 1871 with the Corporation Constitution of the United States of America. And that was in all caps. I looked up the United States of America many years ago on Dun and Bradstreet listings to check it out, and sure enough, it was there listed as a corporation. When the original 1776 Constitution was set aside, we lost our rights. Instead of operating as government, a government of laws, as we were established, we became subject to a government of men that we had earlier sought freedom from. The corporation operated as any other corporation. The chairman, CEO, or president of the other board members made the rules and ran things in accordance with the input of the shareholders, the Vatican, and the bankers. We have mistaken something as our government that is not our government. What we see is only a facade and a perception based on things that have been fed to us. It's instead a foreign government operating on our soil. They're supposed to take their orders from us, but instead they have been taking our money and ordering us in different directions. We need to reinstate the original Constitution and establish who we are and reject their characterization of who they think we are. Foreign governments do not have jurisdiction here unless we allow them to impersonate and continue in their perpetrations. The corporation, operating as a bankrupt corporation, has no authority. The corporation was stripped of its authority last year when President Trump reestablished the republic and took care of all the legal ramifications between March of 2020 with the declaration of the Emergency Act and until right before the election. Every executive order written since 1871 had to be reconstructed so that it does not prevent us from living in the current world. Only those legislative bills and executive orders that were enacted for the benefit of the people of the United States will stand. Everything else has to be destroyed, in essence. That is what has taken the time to reclaim our sovereignty and have it be legally backed is a tremendous effort. Thank you, Lord. As the country is now under the authority of the military, they're just waiting for the right timing to reestablish the true civilian authority in the nation, and then they will take their orders from the Commander-in-Chief, President Donald Trump. The military's first responsibility is to secure and protect the original Constitution, which is the true contract between the American people and its government, the Republic, and the representative union of states, and then they are responsible to restore lawful civilian authority. The generals don't run the country themselves. It's not the generals making decisions, but them advising the lawful civilian authority and then getting their directives from the executive of what to do next. The time in between is all about vetting, verifying, and validating information they have, and then looking at the safest way to get the country back under control. You don't want a cure. You don't want the cure to be worse than the disease. You don't want them to do something so disruptive that it throws the country into chaos and dysfunction. We have to keep in mind that we don't know what other situations and threats are out there, and they need to move carefully and artfully. We are in a war with foreign countries right now. There's a process, and we are in a near-death experience right now, and that is really something needed for the people's eyes to be opened to see. President Trump allowed Joe Biden to steal the election. It was a sting operation with the purpose of exposing the betrayers, the treasonous, the perpetrators in front of the people, visibly, and then to drain the swamp. Without the draining, any administration going forward would be compromised and ineffective. Without the people seeing the actions of those worthy of being drained, there wouldn't be cooperation in the draining. Without the people seeing the fraud in the election, the methodology for counting ballots wouldn't change, and the outcome would continue to be manipulated against the people. The accomplishment of restoring integrity to the election process was referred to as the most important thing that President Trump has brought about. Many states are enacting laws right now to protect the elections going forward and to prevent the cheating. The change in 1871 was illegal and against the will of the people and was not disclosed to the people as to what they were doing. The U.S. military has recognized the truth of the election and they are working with the president. We need to know that people are still fighting for truth. President Trump knows corporate structure very well, and he knew that he was operating under the corporation in his first term. He knew that there were restraints because of that, and he knew the majority of Congress would vote against him on January 6th. And under the corporate charter they were using, they had the authority to do so. They were operating under the corporate constitution of the United States of America. The Congress was still operating as a whole in their capacity as employees of the corporation under the Constitution and the rules of the corporation. Even Dominion, at the time they entered into the contract with the corporation, was acting according to their contract to put the people in charge that the corporation wanted. But that corporation is out. If Joe Biden was really the president, he would have flown on Air Force One to the inauguration like all other true presidents, but he flew in on a private jet. When President Trump was still in office, he promoted Charles Flynn to a four-star general, Michael Flynn's brother. But that wasn't enacted until Biden got into office, and if Biden was in charge of the military, that wouldn't have taken place. The lights in the White House are on a timer. In the respect to presidents, Joe Biden is the president of the bankrupt United States of America Corporation, and President Trump is the president of the United States for America, the Republic. And Ricky will get into that subject a little bit more in a few minutes. There's a lot happening just this week. There's monumental evidence to provide a turnaround of truth. Mike Lindell was on Steve Bannon's War Room just this week and told Steve that they have proof of 19 cyber attacks taking place on November 3rd from just the Chinese Communist Party on the Dominion Smartmatic or like computer systems. They have this documented on the ground through a third party. They have the IP addresses, the ID on the computers in China, who did it, the building longitude and latitude that the computer was in. And then here in the U.S., they have the county, which computer, who did it, what the password was that they got in with, who let them in, everything. They have the footprint, the timestamp at the time of the flip, and how much the flip was from Trump to Biden. Just those 19 attacks flipped the outcome of five states: Wisconsin, Michigan, Arizona, Georgia, and Pennsylvania. This flip is 100% proven just on the cyber attack alone, without considering the ballot stuffing. Mike Lindell's attorneys have vetted that they now have more than enough evidence to prove what took place in a court of law with just the computer information. This and more will all be presented in Mike's newest video, Absolute Interference, concerning foreign election interference, and will be released starting next week over a period of 5 weeks on his new media platform, Frank Speech. U.S. Generals have called it the biggest cyber attack in history, a war fought on the inside. We have whistleblowers that will come out. We have people that are hidden in safe houses that will come out, he said. There's a lot more than just the cyber attack documentation, but we're going to bring it out before the people of the U.S. to show them. A national poll just recently said 51.2% of American adults believe that fraud played a significant or very significant role in Joe Biden's victory. And that sample is skewed to the left with 40% Democrats and 29% Republicans. Adjusted for the general population, it looks to be like 64% believe the fraud was significant or very significant factor for Biden's victory. Americans feel they've been living in a fake reality. The counteroffensive is launching right now. In total, 80 cyber attacks flipped 2.2 million votes in the five swing states. 19 of those attacks can be attributed to enemy action out of China. Hammer is the software tool that breaks open and allows the changes to be made. They have access to 150,000 machines around the world. These are numbers recorded in real time, so that I'm going to read. So keep in mind, it's not simple addition, but adding and subtracting of both. These are the numbers of votes switched from President Trump to Biden, and the result when reversed back as before the switch. And this was recorded in real time. In Pennsylvania, 188,000 some odd votes were switched after rectifying. President Trump wins Pennsylvania by 295,000 votes. In Georgia, 47,233 votes were switched after rectifying. President Trump wins Georgia by 82,687. In Arizona, 47,372 votes were switched after rectifying. President Trump wins Arizona by 84,287. In Michigan, 165,410 votes were switched after rectifying. Trump wins Michigan by 176,600 votes. In Wisconsin, 70,520 votes were switched from Trump to Biden. After rectifying, President Trump wins Wisconsin by 120,440. The counteroffensive to the voting fraud has been launched. Not only were the five swing states attacked, but the other 45 U.S. states were affected with 1,500 successful cyber attacks. Hammer is the software that opens access to 150,000 computers worldwide, and Scorecard manipulates the votes. This program is preloaded with the credentials of 4,000 political people, from the Secretary of State on down to allow access. The data is all coming out this week. This week, the truth won't just need to be taken by faith, said Mike Lindell, but after this week, it will be based on hard proof, evident for all to see. The New Hampshire Senate just voted 24-0 to audit Wyndham in New Hampshire, and the government has signed it into law. The governor has signed it into law. Greg Kelly, in a recent interview with President Trump, asked him, "Mr. President, have you given any more thought about running in 2024? President Trump said, "Well, they're destroying our country." "No, I haven't, because it's a long time away, unfortunately. But they're destroying our country, and you know, look, we just can't continue to let these things happen." About 2024, the president said no right away. "They're destroying our country. 2024 is too far away, and we just can't let these things happen. His plan is to do something soon. Evil will not stand. God will not be mocked, and his armies, and he has armies waiting to intervene and redeem. It's in the works. We all need to be praying. Man makes his plans, but the Lord directs his steps. God is the one who will determine and bring it to pass. Patience is a very big key in this whole equation." And the Lord was speaking to me about patience quite a bit during the preparation for this. Consider this. Hebrews 6:12 says, "Be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Hebrews 10:35, "Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry." And James 1:2, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Faith and patience work together in inheriting the promises, and they are conditions necessary to receive them. It's not automatic. Confidence and patience work in receiving the promises and in keeping the great recompense of reward. James says that the trying of our faith works patience, and that patience itself has a perfect work if we will receive it. And the outcome of that work is completion and being entire, wanting nothing. The Israelites were patient, walking around the walls of Jericho for 7 days without making a sound, in obedience to God. They saw nothing. But on the seventh day, in obedience to the Lord, they shouted and blew the shofars, and the walls came crashing down. It was all about trust, patience, and obedience. I remember when we marched around the venue in Portland 7 times at the Lord's direction to Nita. We blew the shofars and shouted the 7th time, and there were great earthquakes that shook the Catholic churches in Italy, causing much damage that very same day. What we are doing is making a difference. This is the culmination of 22 years of prayer, and we are very close now. The times are in God's hands, but the outcome has not changed and will not change as we wait in prayer steadfastly to the end, believing, trusting in God. We are ushering in His completion in us and the nation. We're not trying to make something happen, but just entering into agreement with what God is doing. We stand in the truth, believing God in this last phase of the journey. Let us trust in the Lord with all our heart and keep our confidence, for He is faithful. He is the author and finisher. He is moving the mountains and bringing his will to pass. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your perfect love for us. Thank you for your mercy, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are working in our government. You're working in our military. You're working in our president. You're working, Lord, to reveal and expose those things that need to be uprooted and rooted out, oh, Lord God, so that it's not just a shallow work, Lord, but thank you that you're doing a deep work, Lord Jesus, because this is the beginning of a new era. Lord God, thank you in heaven that we have the privilege of partnering with you in this, Lord. We trust in you with our whole hearts, Lord. We lean on you, O Lord, and not upon our understanding. Lord, we acknowledge you, and you direct our paths. Lord God in heaven, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for your promise. We thank you for your commission that you commissioned Nita with 22 years ago, Lord. We thank you that she accepted the commission, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you are working it out just as you promised you would, Lord, many years ago. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you praise, glory, honor, and thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, John. Father, just continue to open our eyes that we can see what you are showing us tonight. Open our ears that we can hear, Lord God, what you are showing us tonight. And I pray, Father God, that you will help us all to see this full picture that you are presenting, that we can hold on to the promises you've given us. In your precious name, amen. So Debbie shared such a beautiful journey, her journey through the GOEs. And if you've never been to a GOE, or this is your first time on this line, this was a perfect time for you to come and hear that. Ken shared the spiritual side. John shared the technical side and the historical side of our country. And what I'm going to do is share the things that the Lord has shown me and how we are seeing those things take place today. And this is a very important time in history. And we have the privilege of being a part of witnessing this history take place. And so as I share tonight, this will be up on our website, by the way. We will make sure it's up on our website. So as we share tonight, just ask God to ignite your faith. So back in July of last year, the Lord woke me up early in the morning. I've shared this before, so I'm not going to go through it again, and I believe it's even up on our website. And the Lord had given me, I'm going to briefly touch on this. Translators, I am so sorry, it's not in my notes. So, but the Lord had shown me what it would look like under a Trump presidency and under a Biden presidency. And under a Trump presidency, we would see Roe versus Wade overturned. We would see human trafficking fully exposed. We would see the abortion industry completely exposed, from the lobbyists to the politicians that have supported it, to the doctors and the factories, in essence, that those facilities that do abortions are. We would see human trafficking come down. We really would see it exposed in unprecedented ways. And I saw excellence come across our nation. I saw fresh-faced journalists, and I call them now the new breed of journalism, because the Lord told me back in, I think, 2015 or 16, that he was raising up a new breed of believers. And I believe that we will see a new breed of journalists come forth. And these were the things that he showed me under a Trump presidency. Under Biden, I saw abortion legalized nationwide up to the 9th month of pregnancy. And I don't mean the beginning of the 9th month of pregnancy. I mean the last day, the woman's due date. I saw it legalized. And if you have heard Biden speak, you have already heard him say he looks to codify Roe versus Wade, which would make it legal nationwide. he's very dangerous in terms of human trafficking. And I've talked about the Biden family and what they've done in several nations. So I'm not going to go into that detail here, but he's very dangerous. The Lord also showed me that he really would be Obama would come up behind him and really be the kind of the nudging force in the things that he did. And Obama, his legacy really is wrapped around the LGBTQ plus agenda. And Biden has already released this with the Equality Act and such. So we're already seeing this take place in our nation. We're already seeing the comparison of those two presidencies. So I'm going to talk a little bit more on how these two presidents differ, and then I'm going to talk about, in comparison, the nation of Egypt and the nation of Israel. And then I'm going to bring it back to our nation and what God is going to do in our nation and the unbelievable opportunity that we have right now in history. So let's get ready. So Biden, right now, what we're seeing is a puppet for the cabal. He is very intricately involved in the CCP. They're high rankers in the cabal, and we need to understand that. We're not talking about any specific nationality of people. We're talking about the CCP, the cabal, the elite. They're very close-knit. And so Biden right now is a physical president in D.C. That's what we're seeing. This was a stolen seat, as you heard John share. We can see that there's no authority within his post. People that have gone to D.C., they see there's no authority in D.C. right now. There's no presidential authority. When a king was anointed in the Old Testament, we would know that the authority was upon them. We saw this with King Saul and David. When he was anointed, Saul felt the anointing or the mantle leave him in that hour. That's why he called for David. That's why he needed, because this spirit that was sent to him in its stead, he felt the absence of that kingly mantle. When someone is elected by the people of a country, by the people of the nation, there is a mantle or anointing that God places on them to have that role as president, which is why in Mar-a-Lago, down in Florida, when people go to Mar-a-Lago, when people go to events in Mar-a-Lago, like there was one this past weekend, they will return from that and say, that is where the mantle is. Because it went with the president. It didn't stay in D.C. In fact, people are calling Mar-a-Lago the White House, the new White House. So with this stolen post, you see unrest. And that's why we have the razor fences. That's why we have the barricades that are surrounding D.C. at this point. There is chaos. And if left unchecked, we would see more and more chaos develop, because that's what takes place when this mantle is being stolen. We see this in countries, third world countries, all the time. The longer that person steals the post, the seat, the greater the unrest takes place in the nation. And this is why God refers to D.C. and the mess that's going on in D.C. as a clown show in the Colosseum. And that is exactly what God has told me that is. It's a clown show. And he said it's in a Colosseum. And I shared this not too long ago, that judgment was coming to the Colosseum. That's what the Lord told me. Judgment was coming to the Colosseum. So I know that God is about to deal with their attempted theft of our nation. We see chaos. Now, as we see under a Biden physical fake president, we see a man that is trying to implement chaos in the country because he doesn't know how to rule any other way because he's not the legitimate president. Like I said, there's a mantle or an anointing that comes when someone is appointed the leader of that nation. And so we see this taking place with the Equality Act. We see that this man is going to release the LGBTQ movement even more. We see the control of the church. His plan is to bring greater control into the church. We know very much that he's not a constitutionalist. In fact, on April 9th of this year, he said that no amendment is absolute when he was referring to the U.S. Constitution and our founding documents. No amendment is absolute. Those were his words. And so this is a man who plans on upending our Constitution. You think we have chaos right now? The elite, using the Democrats and the media, are trying to destabilize our nation by stripping us of our history and those founding documents and taking us back. And we see this through the 1619 Project, which is trying to bring this nation and anchor our nation as a slavery nation. And, you know, I've done a lot of research on slavery because I spoke on slavery in our GOEs for a long time. And of all the nations, our nation has presented the most repentance, and we've done the least amount of enslaving people. And we're the only nation right now that has within its constitution an amendment against slavery. So why is this so important? Because the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, these are Bill of Rights. These are the core of our nation. They're the core of any nation, but they're the core of our nation. God used our forefathers to lay these plans out so that our nation would be a nation from which God would raise up his end time refuge nation. Biden, in his current stance, what he's done for 50 years, and I could go into great detail about the things he's done in 50 years, but I won't take that time tonight. He really presents a rod of oppression. So we're going to slip over to President Trump. He is the legal president. He was voted in by well over 80 million votes. Well over. Now, John has gone into kind of the technical side of this, and we'll see this more when you watch Mike Lindell's videos. I strongly encourage you to watch his videos, because he lays it out, and it brings a lot of clarity to how they did this. So why isn't President Trump in D.C.? Well, he refused to be a part of the elite system, and he looked beyond himself and into the needs of a nation. He, constitutionally speaking, he is the legal president, and the mantle and authority that comes with that position will not lift until such time as his presidency ends. And so either the terms are over or he is not reelected, which he was. Now, January 17th of 2020, I had a dream that we would see what we're seeing now. I had a dream that they would steal this election and that it would be done through corruption and media influence. That's how they would accomplish this, and which is quite interesting because CNN, you know, Project Veritas just released their videos from CNN and how they talked about how they got Biden elected, which we know he wasn't elected, but they bragged about the steps that they took to make President Trump look bad and to lift up Biden when they were running for office, not to mention the narrative that they drove into the people's brains about the election. So, but the military president, so our constitutionally elected president, based on the documents and the the amendments and our Bill of Rights and such that were laid out by our forefathers for the electoral process appointed Donald J. Trump to be our continuing president. So we see a military presence in Florida. Why? Because they are protecting the constitutionally elected president. Now, I want to clarify something. The generals, who are still the generals that President Trump appointed, that hasn't changed. They don't run America, but they recognize the true victor as their authority. In a situation like this, there are two presidents, the one recognized by the corrupted Congress and the captured courts, and that would be the fake President Biden, and the military, based on the evidence it has, recognizes the true president, President Trump. The military then looks to the true authority to receive appraisal of what's happened and who was involved, and then receives their direction and proceed forward from there. So President Trump is a constitutionalist. We know that when the leftists were supporting the burning of the American flag, July of 2020, he implemented the 1776 curriculum to teach our children about the Constitution and patriotic and historical truth of our nation. In fact, he right now is a part of a program to teach eighth graders the Constitution. And when they learn it, they get a certificate. In fact, they just had an event last weekend to award eighth graders this certificate. And parents are signing up for this program. So this is something he is continuing to do. We see this in the support that is still present. Every candidate wants his support, right? President's Day, people held parades spontaneously around his home with miles and miles of cars that ran all day. We saw this happen all over the country. This never in history has this taken place. On President's Day, celebrating a president who wasn't duly elected. So they're just celebrating the duly elected president. So he was created for such a time as this. He is the rod of God. That's what the Lord told me. So I told you in 2020 that it was a year of shaking, and that at the end of 2020, the Lord told me that it would continue through to 2021, the year of revelation. So the people in our nation need to see the fullness of what the corruption means so they would embrace the extraction that's coming and reject what Biden and his puppet masters have offered. So this is a very important time in history. And so now let's go, because God is a covenant-keeping God, and that is what Debbie talked about. Ken talked about that, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit. So 22 years of intercession, this is what we're fighting for, and our blueprint can be found in Exodus. So Pharaoh, he's the captive leader. I would definitely label him as a rod of oppression. So what did this leader do? He ruled in bondage, but the very thing that he sought to do would be overturned by the cry of God's people. In Exodus 2 and 3, oppression forces a cry to come up from the Israelites to God. Pharaoh kept them immersed in Egyptian witchcraft and idolatry. The focus was on the temporal, to take it to the afterlife. They valued human life very little. Exodus 5 shows us the intent is to keep the people bound to the world, and the efforts to set them free were met with an increase in oppression. The Israelite leaders came to Moses and even complained about this. But Exodus 7 and to 10 demonstrates the plagues that were released upon the nation of Egypt, from blood in the river to complete darkness, hiding the very thing that Pharaoh and the Egyptians worshipped, the sun and the moon. The darkness was felt throughout the land, dispelling them of their false gods. This is the power of God. The fear of God cut through the heart of man. The fear of God cut through the heart of man. The final plague rid them of their firstborn, just as the Egyptians did to the sons of the Israelites 80 years prior. Exodus 12, Pharaoh spews the Israelites out of Egypt. So let's move over to Moses. Moses was God's chosen leader, right? Pharaoh is the captive leader, the rod of oppression. Moses is God's chosen leader, the rod of God. What does this leader do? He delivers them from bondage and kept them immersed in God throughout. He began with, "Let my people go, that they might hold a feast unto me," and that was the call of God, "in the wilderness." And feast means to betake oneself toward an object of reverence, make a pilgrimage. This is the journey to God, which is so interesting because of what Debbie shared, the journey of the GOEs to take this nation back to God. And this is a journey that we all have to take. The intent is to draw people out of the world and up to God. Is this not the ecclesia? The taskmasters that fought against Moses sounded like the believers today who are persecuting the prophets because of the 2020 election results. The people of God that are persecuting the prophets because of the 2020 election results. And here's the thing. The 2020 election results was Donald J. Trump was the winner. Why would God allow this to take place? Why would God allow our nation to go through what we're going through? Why would God allow Pharaoh's heart to be hardened time and time again when God was trying to deal with the nation of Egypt? Well, Exodus 11, 9 through 10 says, "The Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. And Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children of Israel go out of his land." Why? "So that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt." In Exodus 13, now this is something that is, the Lord showed me this, and I've shared this on our line in prayer, because when he showed me this, I saw the power of God come through in a way that it was really unprecedented. And the angel of the Lord went before the Israelites to lead them to the Red Sea. When the Egyptians followed, what happened? The angel of the Lord went behind the Israelites and stayed between the Israelites and the Egyptians. When the time came for us to see that final parting of the Red Sea, Moses raises his staff. He cuts the sea. He parts the sea. The people cross on dry land. When they're on the other side, the sea encompasses, entombs the Egyptian soldiers. But there's something important to remember, is that judgment had been passed on the nation of Egypt for the things that they had done to the nation of Israel. And they were brought into confusion. They were brought into chaos. Their wheels were driven into the sand, that they would not be able to flee the justice of God. God is a God of justice. And Moses was sent in to bring justice, to set his people free, to bring the rod of God to set the people free, and to bring justice on the nation of Egypt. This really was a war. In Exodus 3:22, the Lord told Moses that they would plunder Egypt. Usually when a plundering takes place, that's because you're in the midst of a war. The elite know more about end time prophecy than many Christians. Why is that? Because their goal is to uproot God's plans. They also keep people fearing the end times and manipulate them with the word. And that is a whole other message I won't go into here. So I'm going to go back to Biden and to President Trump. Biden the rod of oppression. He's the puppet. He's illegitimate. He's a Manchurian candidate. He is already increasing abortion on demand, and taxpayers are now funding abortions again like never before, actually. The Equality Act has been implemented. He's now provoking critical race theory and requiring it to be taught in the military, and every federal agency has to teach critical race theory. And if you don't understand what that is a whole nother message, and it is incredibly dangerous. Incredibly dangerous. He's got executive orders that have been released intended to silence the church. And he says, of course, no amendment is absolute. What is God trying to teach us? That we've got to be willing to let go of the world system. That's what God is teaching us. God has allowed us to see Biden in action. That is the world system. And if they have their opportunity to have a reign in this country, what we have seen in the last 2 months will be a cakewalk. He is truly a rod of oppression. And this week, I can add, he has set a committee to pack the Supreme Court. President Trump, the rod of God, he's a duly elected president, and he is determined to extract the elite from our nation. He's recognized by the Joint Chiefs of Staff that he put in place, who are still in place. That's why he's protected by the military. He's a nationalist, which, you know, turn speak and double speak, flips words, and it's really very deceptive. But they've made nationalist a bad word, but it isn't. It's a person who seeks the betterment of a nation and the people of that nation. He has supported the church and the word of God. During the first impeachment hoax, he signed an executive order to put prayer back in schools. In 2020, he signed one to pave the way for Bible to return to schools. He signed 9 executive orders to end human trafficking. When the leftists were demanding the church doors be shut during this pandemic, Trump signed executive orders declaring the church an essential service. Plus, he has given birth to basically a 1776 curriculum, which he signed in July of last year, to extract the socialist curriculum and educate our youth on the intent and founding of our nation. It's time. This man fought for us so much. He's continuing to fight for us. It's time for believers to rise up and stand for righteousness. We've got to let go of the world system and embrace the republic. This is God's system of government that he compelled our forefathers to set in place. President Trump is the rod of God. When I was praying about the heart of the church, the persecution of the prophets, the grief of the nation over the events that have transpired in January, this was early in the morning, February 3rd of 2021. The Lord spoke to my heart, and he said, it's easy to declare the expected in a nation. The struggle comes in the proving season, the period in which we must stand on the word of the Lord when everything around you seems to contradict that word that God has given us. The Red Sea moment was unprecedented, and it represented freedom from the bondages of Egypt. Complete freedom. After over 400 years, this was part of the covenant promise between God and Abraham. The naysayers and the critics of what God spoke through Moses and Aaron were in fact proven wrong in the resistance, as they too benefited from this moment of passing through the walls of water and into the promises of God. Their hearts certainly were rent, as the sea itself was rent for their passing. We see this same thing taking place today. People condemning the prophets for staying true to course. Every date set by man that would bring us hope failing one after the other. Why? For the same reason God hardened Pharaoh's heart, so that his wonders may be multiplied in the land. Thank you, Lord. Okay, they're concerned. I was just texted. The Equality Act did not pass. That's that's something he's trying to get done. It has not passed. So I want to clarify that so that no one was concerned. God and God alone is going to get the glory for fulfilling his covenant with this nation. The elements preceding the Red Sea moments, and I'm almost finished here, and I'm going to hand this over to Mom, was the awakening of our need for deliverance. God sends his prophets to nurse this need into a vigorous life. This process also brings hope that deliverance is possible. The oppression increased, as did their outcry to God for deliverance. Then the shaking loose of the chains, keeping the enslaved, begins. We must feel the weight and pain of those chains to not only fight to be set free, but fight to stay set free. The miracle we're about to witness will change this nation forever. It will break the chains off our minds, our souls, and even our hearts when we see a move of God that is unprecedented in our lifetime. He's restored the republic, and all the world will see this in due time. This is truly the breaking off of the cabal from our lives, our children's lives, the victims of human trafficking, the preborn citizens. It'll be like passing through the walls of the Red Sea in awesome wonder and reverential fear to enter into the wilderness where God will reset and reorder our nation. She will fulfill her destiny in God. When the walls of the Red Sea came crashing down upon the Egyptians, it buried the chains worn by the Israelites for hundreds of years along with it. Will we stay the course? Will we continue to hold the line? That's what the Lord keeps telling me. Will we stay the course? That's why so many emails you've received from me say, hold the line. Will you stay the course? Stand the line. The Lord said the shaking of 2020 will bring 2021, the year of revelation of all truth and deception. Biden is like the emperor with his new clothes, parading around with a clown show in D.C. He has the media, the politicians, the deep state cabal trying to convince everyone it's true. But this is deception at its core, because justice is coming to that Colosseum. The Lord was very clear. He told me this in August of last year, in February and March this year, that justice was coming. The window of opportunity to repent for this coup is closing, and it's closing fast. President Trump is the president of the 1776 Republic. This is not conspiracy. This is, in fact, truth. God heeds the voice of the people because he will not violate man's will. The people voted him in. The elite stole the election, just like the Lord showed me they would do clear back in January 17th of 2020. We've got to pray and pray and pray some more. Pray for the people of our nation to have grace to hear the truth as it comes to the forefront. Pray for full exposure of the media, exposure of the clown show, exposure of the Colosseum, and then stand and see the salvation of the Lord. When the mighty Red Sea parts, the fear of God will fall on all mankind, igniting the seed of faith in the hearts of men once again. America is an integral part of God's plan. She's part of God's covenant promise to raise up a refuge nation for the end times. This nation has been raised up to fight for his chosen people. The covenant with John Rabot is on behalf of America is as critical to the covenants he made with the men in the Word of God. Countless souls depend on America fulfilling her destiny. So, man's plan versus God's plan. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. The enemy cannot win. Why? Two reasons. The destiny of our nation is at stake. And we've come, we've humbled ourselves for 22 years. We've prayed, we've sought his face, we turned from our wicked ways. And we see this in the election and then re-election of Donald J. Trump. So he's heard from heaven, he's forgiving our sin, and soon the curse of abortion will be lifted. And he is healing our land. The Red Sea moment that will come, we have a lot of legal stuff that's in play, the court systems, everything is in play, and that needs to be rectified for future elections. But I am telling you, the Red Sea moment will be bigger than all of that. It will be bigger than all of that. Stand and see the salvation of the Lord on our behalf. Thank you. Go ahead, Mom.
Okay, thank you for joining us. Let's just bow our heads before the Lord one more time and see if he has something he wants us to do to conclude this, and then we can pray. I hope that this has been meaningful to you at this time. I know with all the things that are going on, it can be very, very confusing. So someone earlier said that we need to quit listening to mainstream media and quit weakening our faith by listening to words that are just pure lies. But when you can feed your spirit and feed your heart with the truth, it sure does help, doesn't it?